You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat! The ball is free! Denver's got it! Touchdown, Denver!
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
We are 24 hours away from kickoff as the Broncos travel to Washington, D.C. today to take on the Washington Redskins tomorrow. You'll see that at 5:30 p.m. kickoff Mountain Time. I'm your host, Cody Rourke, columnist at Predominantly Orange and NFL analyst covering the Denver Broncos and the National Football League. You can give me a follow on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL.
And I am Cameron Parker, your other host of Locked On Broncos. You guys can follow the Twitter handle for Locked On Broncos at Locked On Broncos. And you guys can follow me as well at Cameron Parker PO, as well as our Predominantly Orange Twitter handle, which both of us contribute to at Predom Orange.
Yesterday, Cameron did a Periscope for Broncos fans. We didn't get an episode up yesterday. We apologize for that. A lot going on, but Cameron kept you guys up to date with a Periscope. If you missed it, go check it out over there at Cameron Parker PL. So, Cameron, on Tuesday, we brought everybody the heat with our Hot Take Tuesday segment, popular as always. Today, we're going to give some of our bold predictions for the Broncos-Redskins game that kicks off tomorrow. Don't forget that tomorrow is our preview episode of the game. So, Locked On Broncos tomorrow will be a pregame show analyzing the best matchups from the Broncos-Redskins game. We'll travel around Dove Valley today for your daily Broncos rundown featuring the news of the day, including who will not play in tomorrow's game against the Redskins. Segment number two, we're going to have a little fun and talk about our bold predictions for tomorrow's game against Alex Smith and the Redskins, where the starters will have a chance to play the entire half. And lastly, the final segment of tonight's show is entirely special because Pat Bowlen has finally been selected as a finalist for the 2019 Pro Football Hall of Fame. So Cam, jumping right into it, our daily rundown. Vance Joseph gave everybody the injury report, and these are the following guys that will not play against the Redskins tomorrow. Tight end Troy Fumagalli, he's not going to play. A big unfortunate thing for him because coming into camp as a rookie, there was some hype, there was some excitement with him, and then it all stemmed back to experiencing a setback with a hernia surgery he experienced with. Now it's affecting him a little bit. He might be an injured reserve candidate, and that would kind of be unfortunate, but it also could be a blessing in disguise if he can get that healed, because he can be a very key piece to this Broncos offense. He's going to be out. Guard J.J. Dealman, he's out as well. We're not going to see cornerback Marcus Rios, so that opens things up for Brennan Langley and some of these other guys, C.J. Smith, to get some more playing time in that nickel corner spot, which is going to be very important for the Denver Broncos to lock up before they get into the regular season. Offensive lineman Andreas Knapp, he's out with an injury as well. Same with Sam Jones. We could see Austin Fleer here and Leon Jones. They brought him back this week as well. And obviously, no surprise here, no Sua Cravens, unfortunately. We still haven't seen anything from him. But the question here, you know, Cam, and I think we'll go back and forth on this. Ron Leary, he's listed as a game-time decision. He's been sitting out of practice this week with the knee injury. He had arthroscopic knee surgery this offseason. The question is, Cam, do you risk playing Ron Leary, or do you rest him and allow his knee to not experience any setbacks before the season opener? Because his presence at left guard, his veteran presence is so huge. I don't think the Broncos can really risk it at this point.
No, I'm actually 100% in agreement with you. And in fact, it's actually a blessing in disguise for Max Garcia. You know, it's obviously one of the key underrated aspects that we honestly haven't even touched on with this Denver Broncos offensive line. And Max Garcia is really a name on the Denver Broncos offensive line that is really flying under the radar. And for Max Garcia, he's a guy that he came into the league. He was exceptionally strong as far as a run blocker, but he just was way too inconsistent the last handful of years. But the talent, as far as talent of an offensive lineman, Max Garcia still has, and he's clearly proven to be a versatile guy. So in fact, if Ronald Leary, and it's a smart decision, really, to sit him out until the regular season, it just gives Max Garcia just more time to develop, work his craft, and continue to prove himself and be quite a depth piece for an offensive line that is really struggling for depth. And it isn't just Billy Turner and obviously, guys like that. It's those guys that are looking to potentially make an impact that is behind the starting line, that if something were to go down, because in any sport, you will encounter injuries. And so the Broncos have to have, or any team have to have, that next man up mentality. And so regardless, though, it is a very smart decision to sit out Ron O'Leary and get your arguably your best offensive lineman ready for the regular season,
which is so important. It's completely important, and it's almost unfortunate because the Broncos ideally at every position on the O-line and almost every position on the roster want to have at least a two deep or a three deep there. J.J. Dillman's been a guy they've been very impressed with. He's not going to be able to play, so him not getting reps I think hurts his value. Like you said, Max Garcia, offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave said it this week, that he has not had a good, but he has had a great training camp. A guy that has taken many strides. He was frustrating to watch last year, and I almost kind of think that he lost some of his confidence the year prior when the Broncos brought in Evan Mathis or even Alan Barber at that point to rotate with him almost every other series. Now that could be frustrating, but maybe, just maybe, he can get that spot just secured, especially if Ron Leary goes down. You don't want to see that. You hope that he can stay upright through the regular season, but especially with knees, rest him. Don't risk it. I don't think there's any question here. You know, game time decision, no. If I'm the general manager, if I'm John Elway, I'm saying, look, we're not risking it right now. Our offensive line, the Broncos O-line, if I'm John Elway is saying, our offensive line looks more improved right now than it has in prior years. And from the outsider perspective, when you go back and watch film, if you put up two TVs, and you put last year's film and you put this year's film at preseason up in terms of the offensive line, there is a little bit more solidarity there. It's evidently noticeable how different they are. And you can't afford, if you're an NFL general manager or even a head coach, if Vance Joseph has a tough call to make, hopefully he doesn't play, because I just don't think that's going to be beneficial. Think about it this way too. You don't practice all week. You lose some of that conditioning. You lose some of that game intensity. And you go into a game where you might not actually be ready for it, especially if you're dealing with a knee injury. You might play hesitant. You could end up re-injuring it even further. So not worth the risk. Keep him out. We want to know what you have to say, Locked On Broncos fans. Tweet us. Should Ron Leary play tomorrow? Let us know at Locked On Broncos. Now, the next question for you, Cam. A lot of people are actually asking this question. I'm not really concerned about it. I think we'll see him when we see him. But many people are starting to wonder about Sua Cravens, especially with the Broncos' ailingness of covering tight ends. It's been something that's been really bothering them. They haven't been able to really adjust and counteract it. They struggled with it last week as well against Trey Burton and the Bears. This week, we could see more of the same. Will Parks is expected to play. That's great. But when will we see Sua Cravens? Because I know a lot of people are very frustrated on that.
I mean, the key is, how healthy will Will Parks be? I mean, or better yet, how often will they use Will Parks in the preseason? That's sort of a separate note. But I mentioned it as far as Twitter last night, that until Sua Cravens appears on the football field, the Broncos will still experience problems covering tight ends. It's just as simple as that. But also, it's a testament to just how good Sua Cravens is in coverage of those tight ends and wide receivers and running backs. I mean, the Broncos absolutely need a guy like Sua Cravens on the football field. Now, granted, it's the preseason, and here's sort of where I can understand and in some ways sympathize with the fan perspective. Sua Cravens hasn't played a down in, what has it been, like 2 years?
Yeah, it's been a year and a half.
Yeah, right. It's been about a year and a half. So I can sympathize with the fans for thinking that. But at the same time, he is dealing with a knee issue. And we were mentioning with Ron O'Leary, and the knee is a very tricky thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have no idea whether that's going to linger and become a very serious injury, or if it's going to be something completely minor. So the fact that they are taking it very serious and just as far as precautionary should make you happy, knowing the fact that they are taking the right approach. And especially with guys like Loren Landau in the building, the best in the business, he will get to a Cravens right. And as far as the Denver Broncos defense, in my opinion, they will get better once Sua Cravens hits the field. Now my only worry, honestly, my only worry is we had a player, offensive side of the ball last year, but he had knee issues. Obviously, it was prolonged knee issues throughout his career. My only worry is that I just hope that the coaching staff is not taking it easy again, or taking it too cautiously, I should say, with Sua Cravens, like they did with Jamal Charles. That's my only worry with the whole Sua Cravens thing. So I can sympathize with it, but once Sua Cravens gets himself on the field, he will be a nightmare defensive player. And to be honest with you, we talked about it. I'm talking a little bit too much, but with Sua Cravens in particular, defensively, and Philip Lindsay on offense, you have two dynamic players on both sides of the ball. So Sua Cravens can end up being ultimately one of your better defenders, just how versatile he is.
Well, I hope so. And I hope the hype really matches what we're going to see from him. That's the definitely big thing that we're going to look at. He's got a lot of potential. I hate the word potential because it always means what they could be. So hopefully he can evolve to be who we all know him to be by watching film. Now, one more guy, Marcus Rios. We'll see a little bit more with him out. With Marcus Rios out, we're going to see Brennan Langley get more reps on the inside, a spot where he struggled with, but this could be the place where he could find a roster spot if he thrives at that nickel corner position. So that's something to keep an eye on tomorrow. Our hope is that the Broncos can come out of tomorrow's matchup without any setbacks or injuries as they aim to stay healthy for a strong 2018 campaign. And some exciting news, the Locked On Podcast Network is excited to announce the launch for shows for Alabama, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. All those in the SEC, Oklahoma and Baylor from the Big 12, Ohio State, oh my gosh, I don't even want to get started on that, Penn State in the Big 10, and Oregon in the Pac-12, with many more teams to come on the Locked On NCAA branch. With college football starting up, they are your go-to podcast if they are your team. The Alabama, Arkansas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida, Oklahoma, Baylor, Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, and many more teams to come over here at the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So now we're a little bit of fun segment right here. We had fun on Tuesday with hot takes. Now on Thursday, we have bold predictions for the Broncos at the Redskins. Now, we're going to give one on the offensive side of the ball and then one on the defensive side of the ball. So, Cameron, I'll start things off here. For the offensive side of the ball, my bold prediction for the Broncos and Redskins game will be that Case Keenum, I think he's going to throw for two touchdown passes against the Redskins in the first half of tomorrow's game. They get to play an entire half, maybe even a little bit more in the third quarter, Vance Joseph said. He wants to see it measured on success. So I would call that very successful if they can do that. So I predict Case Keenum has two touchdown passes. First one to Emmanuel Sanders, second one to Jeff Heuerman. Now, what would be your hot, not your hot take, what would be your bold prediction for the offensive side of the ball?
I'm going to say that Chad Kelly runs for a touchdown.
Ooh, okay. And is Chad Kelly going to play the entire third quarter and the fourth quarter?
I'm actually thinking that Chad Kelly is going to play the entire game. After Case Keenum leaves, I think Chad Kelly will play the entire game, and he will take it in for a score, for a rushing touchdown. That's where I'm leaning as far as my offensive bold prediction. You know, and again, I was talking about it on my Periscope broadcast, or just in one of the tweets that I've done. This is a big preseason for Chad Kelly, and whether he plays or not, it's a big preseason for Paxton Lynch, because if Chad Kelly plays the entire game and he does really well, then Chad Kelly has been one step closer, or he's moving one step closer to solidifying himself as the backup for the Denver Broncos. And for Paxton Lynch, if he doesn't play and Chad Kelly plays well, then there's a decent sign that Paxton Lynch's days are potentially numbered in Denver.
Well, I think Vance Joseph said something a little bit that maybe gave us a little bit of a hint at what to expect if Paxton Lynch cannot perform well in competition. And he said something this week along the lines of, you know, well, we'll see what's left of Paxton Lynch. That right there to me told me a little bit that the organization's stance on him might have changed because of the emergence in preseason of Chad Kelly. He looked phenomenal against the two, so you can't make that argument that, oh, he's only doing this against the threes. Paxton Lynch looked okay against the Bears, but there was a lot of things that he just looked like the same guy that we've seen the last 2 years, unfortunately. And that's something I don't think the Broncos have patience for anymore. So I think Chad Kelly, if he plays well, I think he puts the nail in the coffin. We see probably a quarter next week with Chad Kelly, or we see Paxton Lynch play the entire game four, meaningless preseason action where pretty much all the backups, none of the starters are going to be playing. That's my prediction. I like your bold prediction, though. Chad Kelly's going to play the entire game after Case Keenum, and he's going to run for a touchdown. That's Cameron's bold prediction as well. So let's switch it over to the defensive side of the ball. My bold prediction for this game is that Bradley Chubb, he'll get his second NFL sack. Now, obviously, it won't count in preseason, but he'll get his second career career NFL sack in preseason action against Alex Smith. I think the Redskins are still going to try to double up a little bit on Von Miller, and this is where Bradley Chubb really needs to take that next step. And I think we've seen it from game one to game two. He really took the next step. He got more discipline in his gap integrity, keeping the edge. You know, teams had to hold him. So Bradley Chubb, this is a game where he's going to show some of that stuff that we haven't seen yet, especially through a quarter and a half of play last week. We are going to see more from Bradley Chubb in this game, and he's going to sack Alex Smith. What's up with Broncos pass rushers getting Alex Smith? Well, we know quite a bit about that. Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, Shane Ray, Shaquille Barrett, everybody gets to Alex Smith, so that's something that we look forward to. That is my bold prediction. Cameron, take it away on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, Cody, you are certainly going to really love this this bold prediction.
It has something to do with cornerbacks, does it, huh?
It has something to do with cornerbacks, and I'm actually going to go and say that with another rookie, and I'm going to say that Isaac Gotem Yotem will get his interception in the preseason. You know, he really hasn't had the best preseason, but he also hasn't had the worst preseason of anybody. And, I mean, he's always around the football. He's always around the wide receiver. It's just the quarterbacks are throwing his way because they know that Chris Harris is on one side and Bradley Roby's on the other. So they're going to be focusing on Isaac Yotem, the rookie. It's just his smart quarterback thinking. So he's always around the football. He's always around the wide receiver. He can still be a little bit better as far as, you know, being a little bit attached to the hip of the wide receiver. But I mean, overall, Isaac Yotem, he's doing okay. But I think in this game, you're going to expect a much better performance, I think, from Isaac Yotem, something that I think that the Denver Broncos were accustomed to seeing down there in the Senior Bowl, one of the reasons why they were so enamored with him. And I think that Isaac Yotem got him. Will get his first interception as a member of the Denver Broncos.
We should get that made into a shirt. Isaac Gotem Yotem. I love that because that's going to stick, and you got to trademark that before somebody else does. If you're listening to the show, we also want to encourage you, don't trademark that. We had the idea first. Cameron's going to get it made, so we'll get shirts out. That, actually, you know what, Cameron? We could actually get a shirt made like that, and we could use that in our Locked On Broncos contest giveaway. Who knows? That's coming up next month over here at Locked On Broncos, September. It is the NFL regular season, 14 days away till the regular season kicks off. That means we will be doing a Locked On Broncos contest giveaway once a month, and we're going to kick things off here once the Broncos face the Seattle Seahawks. Following that game, we will announce what we will be giving away to one lucky listener of the Locked On Broncos podcast. Stay tuned for all the details over here. We would also like to hear your bold predictions for the Broncos-Redskins game. Like I said, tomorrow, kickoff set for 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time in D.C. Tweet us your bold predictions at Locked On Broncos. We'll retweet the best ones. Now, for me, unfortunately, I'm going to have to miss the game. I will not be able to live tweet it, but Cameron will at Cameron Parker PO. He'll be able to live tweet the game. He's going to keep you covered there. We'll do a post-game report on Saturday if we get a chance to, if not Sunday, and it's going to be uploaded for your listening pleasure over here at Locked On Broncos. So tweet us your bold predictions at Locked On Broncos. We'll retweet the best ones. And also a reminder that the Locked On NFL podcast has become the Locked On of NFL experts. Matt Williamson hosts the Locked On NFL podcast, and he has a brand new lineup every single week. Every Monday, you will hear Locked On's local experts featuring the biggest stories. And then Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus will join the Locked On NFL podcast every Wednesday. And ESPN's amazing Mike Sando, he joins Matt Williamson on Thursday for Locked On NFL content. Be sure to follow Locked On NFL on Twitter as well as Matt Williamson. And be sure to subscribe and follow on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast to get this amazing content. Cameron, big news today. I think a lot of us were sitting and waiting all morning. If you're like me, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and I knew that today was the day that Pat Bowlen might have a chance to get selected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, or we'll get one step closer, essentially. So I waited from 4:30 a.m. to about 12:45 p.m., 1 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time. And I tell you what, we were kind of checking the news wire all day, but it has been announced that Pat Bowlen has been selected as a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a contributor alongside former Dallas Cowboys executive Gil Brandt. Now, it's going to be between Brandt and Bowlen to determine who goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And there was a little bit of clarification here. You know, there's some confusion going around. These guys are finalists right now. So the finalist vote, it occurs in Atlanta, Georgia on February 2nd. We'll be there for all the coverage when that happens. We'll be there. So in order for Pat Bowlen To get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame officially, he needs an 80% yes vote from the Hall of Fame committee. Now, this is going to be important, and I think this really clears things up a little bit. I was operating under the assumption at the beginning that it was between Bolin and Brandt, and only one of those guys gets in. That's not how it works. Thankfully, both guys can get in, but both guys need an 80% yes from the Hall of Fame committee. If both get that 80% yes, then both go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2019. So there was a little bit of confusion. There's a little bit of frustration at the very beginning for those who didn't know, and they felt that regardless that the Cowboys guy, Gil Brandt, that he would get in because there's a bias for America's team, supposedly. So that is not the case, thankfully. Pat Bolin, he has a chance to do it. It well-deserved. I mean, to be honest with you, Cameron, this should have happened years ago. So here's my takeaway on it. I think there's nobody right now that's an executive in the NFL. I think that Pat Bolin deserved to get in well before Jerry Jones did. That's my firm belief, and that's not with orange-shaded glasses on. That is with looking at the accomplishments of the Denver Broncos under Pat Bolin's reign, one of the best sports franchise in all of sports since Pat Bolin became the owner. And it's not just football where Pat Bolin became successful. He had other ventures. He's got other championships from the lacrosse team, the Mammoth. I mean, just things like that. It's unbelievable what Pat Bolin has his hand in a multitude of different sports in Denver. I think of Denver sports, maybe outside of the Nuggets, maybe outside of the Rockies, but every Denver sport outside of that and the Avalanche, it's a Pat Bolin town. Pat Bolin has his hand print, his blueprint, and his philosophy, and several winning organizations around the professional sports realm. So, you know, a guy more deserving, Pat Bolin. There's nobody out there, in my opinion, that deserves to get in more than Pat Bolin. Broncos country's rejoicing. I'm happy. I'm excited. And the cool thing about it, Cameron, Steve Atwater and Joe Ellis got to tell Pat Bolin today. And apparently the takeaway from it was that Pat Bolin responded with a smile. I love that. I wish that we could see Pat Bolin more in the public. And it's unfortunate that his battle with Alzheimer's is the way it is. And Annabelle Bolin experiencing the same exact thing. So it means so much to the Bolin family. They released a statement today. You can check that over at DenverBroncos.com. I'm excited. I'm happy, Cameron. I think it's late, but I think it's well deserved. What's your takeaway on this?
You know, you guys can actually go check an article that I wrote out on Predominantly Orange, and it basically documents. It's a very good, thorough evaluation as far as Pat Bolin is concerned, and he left a Hall of Fame legacy with the Denver Broncos. We talked about it in one of our other episodes with Pat Bolin, and he just has a genuine nature about him that's infectious with everybody that he's a part of in the organization. And when you have that sort of trickle-down effect, it's going to affect everybody that's in your organization. That's also a mark of a terrific organization, a Hall of Fame organization. And when you have that, it trickles down to the point to wanting to have a winning franchise. And to understand, as far as the winning franchise, the Denver Broncos ranked second since 1984. The Denver Broncos ranked second since 1984 to 2017 behind the New England Patriots with the best winning percentage in the NFL. I mean, we're talking about the New England Patriots, who have countless number of Super Bowls. I mean, he's instilling this winning franchise. I mean, you were talking about owners. We continue with the regular season wins. He is the active owner leader in regular season wins with 327. I mean, and as far as the winning seasons, this is probably the telling point between, you know, Patriots fans and Broncos fans. They're tied. Robert Kraft and Pat Bolin are tied with 21 winning seasons. And as you were talking about, you know, you mentioned that Pat Bolin goes above and beyond just the football field. Think about this for a second. The Denver Broncos have appeared in 344 nationally televised games in the 34 seasons of ownership since 1984. I mean, we're talking 144 national doubleheader games, 58 Monday night games, 49 Sunday night games, and postseason games, 36, 28 preseason games, 25 Saturday games, which is actually a great deal. Thursday and Saturday games, which is a big deal, and Thanksgiving games is four. You just get a sense, and there's a tweet out today that I can't remember who it was with, but they had called him the father of Sunday night football. Yeah. I mean, he was one of, if not the biggest locks for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And the biggest takeaway is, it's to feed back off of your point. It's bittersweet, but at the same time, it is something that should have happened many years ago with Pat Bowlen being enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And like you said, the Denver Broncos town, or the Denver Broncos town mantra, was created by Pat Bowlen. And that's why the Denver Broncos officially are a Denver Broncos town, is because of the winning success that Pat Bowlen created.
See, I think that answers every controversy that people want to make with Denver sports. And, well, Denver should be this sports town, Rocky sports town. No, it's a Broncos town. It is. That's why the Broncos are the most talked about franchise, in Denver sports. The Rockies are playing phenomenal right now. Absolutely. They deserve more media coverage. But don't be confused. Broncos country is a Broncos town. Denver is a Broncos town. It is a Broncos country. And like our good friend John Elway said, this one's for Pat. Very, very excited about that. If you want to hear that, you can just go back to the very beginning of this episode, to the intro of Locked On Broncos. You're going to hear it played over and over and over and over and over again. I love it. I'm going to go back and watch Super Bowl 50 now that we just talked about this whole thing, just so I can see that and hear that once again. But very special moment. Very glad that Pat Bowlen is finally one step closer to getting in. And with that,
I tell you what, Cody, you know what we should label this episode? We should call this episode the This One's for Pat episode.
I love it. That's it. So if you're reading this, we've already decided it. It is This One's for Pat. Very excited about that. We'd like to thank you guys once again for jamming with us over here for another episode of Locked On Broncos. Be sure to give us a follow on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. You can give me a follow at Cody Work NFL. Cameron over there at Cameron Parker PO. We'll be back tomorrow for another episode of the show. Also subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And tomorrow's episode will preview the Broncos and the Redskins matchup. And kickoffs tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time, Washington, D.C. Go Broncos.